Friday marks the 250th anniversary of Mozart's birth. He was born on January 27, 1756, and died in 1791. Although he lived only 35 years, his name has become synonymous with classical music that still reverberates for modern audiences. Our classical music critic, Lloyd Schwartz, tells us why he thinks Mozart is the greatest classical composer who ever lived.
No Western composer demonstrated a more Shakespearean range of emotions than Mozart. From the comedy of self-deception to tragic despair. From pleasure in worldly comfort to heroic defiance of convention. From supernatural terrors to spiritual ecstasy. His most ravishing music looks inside the soul about as deeply as art can. Many commentators have pointed out that Mozart's instrumental works, sonatas and chamber music, symphonies and concertos, have such a human, singing voice, they're like operas. And no one composed operas that more subtly explore human nature, intimate relationships, social morality, the conflict between individual will and spiritual imperatives. Even his most cheerful music seems to hide tears. And his greatest tragic opera, Don Giovanni, is also a comedy. It's labeled a drama giocoso, a jokey drama. Maybe we today understand these complex qualities better than Mozart's own contemporaries. I'm thinking of two remarkable movies, for example, that use Mozart as a recurrent underlying theme. Mike Nichols' Closer from 2004 and John Schlesinger's 1971 Sunday Bloody Sunday, both of which are about switching sexual partners. In fact, they use exactly the same music. The sublime little trio from the first act of Mozart's opera, Così fan tutte. This trio is actually a prayer. Two sisters believe their lovers are going off to war. Their friend Don Alfonso joins them in wishing the men a safe journey. Calm winds and tranquil waves. May every element, they sing, respond benignly to our desire. Suddenly, there's a stab of totally unexpected, almost sour harmony on the word désir, desire. In reality, the two fiancés aren't leaving at all. Don Alfonso has bet them that their girlfriends won't, can't, remain faithful to them. The title of the opera, Così fan tutte, means That's What They All Do. The subtitle is School for Lovers. The guys are going to return in disguise, each pursuing the other's girl. So the trio is really built on deception, the bet, and the self-deception of the girl's self-dramatizing display of excessive emotion. In Peter Sellers' famous production of Così fan tutte, which we just heard, the iconoclastic director literally brings the opera into the modern world, a diner at a seaside resort. On that suddenly bitter harmony in the trio, while the sisters lift up their arms in prayer, Sellers has Alfonso bring his hands down over his eyes. He's hiding his real desire to win his bet, and maybe even his unwitting desire not to prove his cynical point about love. Sellers sees something even more radical in Mozart's music. In Così fan tutte, it's always hard to believe that the two sisters don't see through their lovers' lame disguises. But Sellers suggests that they do see through the disguises, and that pretending to believe the deception gives the women permission to experiment with switching partners. Mozart's insinuating music more than suggests the intense attraction between the new partners. Unlike most productions, Sellers' staging actually reflects both the words and the music of the final chorus, about the whirlwind all the characters are still caught up in. Mozart's resolution to the emotional impasse acknowledges that a real resolution is impossible. What more appropriate music could John Schlesinger or Mike Nichols have used in their films? What music could be more profound, more modern in its understanding of human contradictions? And in its sheer beauty, what music could be more sympathetic to our human dilemmas?
Lloyd Schwartz is classical music editor of the Boston Phoenix and teaches English at the University of Massachusetts, Boston.